Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Unlike the previous four chapters that highlighted messages of comfort and hope for Am Yisrael's future, chapter 34 opens with a harsh message for the obstinate Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda, as Jerusalem is besieged by the Chaldean forces and its people are being starved. Yirmiyahu speaks to the monarch that had tried desperately to silence his predictions of the fall of the kingdom into the hands of Babylonia. Ko amar Hashem, hineni notenet ha'ir hazot biyad melech bavel usserafa ba'esh. Ve'ata lo temalet miyado, ki tafos titapes uviyado tinaten, ואינך את עיני מלך בבל תראנה, ופיהו את פיך ידבר, ובבל תבוא. This is what Hashem said. I'm about to give this city into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it down. You will not escape from his grasp, but will surely be captured and given into his hands. You will see the king of Babylon with your own eyes, and he will speak with you face to face. And you will go to Babylon. Nevertheless, Yirmiyahu provides some small comfort to Tzidkiyahu, informing him in verses 4 and 5, Lo tamut b'cherev, b'shalom tamut, ובמשרפות אבותיך המלכים הראשונים אשר היו לפניך, כן ישרפו לך, והוי אדון יספדו לך, Ki davar ani dibarti, ne'um Hashem. You will not die by the sword. You will die peacefully, as people made a funeral fire in honor of your predecessors, the kings who ruled before you, so they will make a fire in your honor, and lament, alas, master, I myself made this promise, declares Hashem. Apparently, it was customary to mark the death of a monarch by lighting bonfires upon which they burned savory spices, perhaps to mask the odor of the corpse. Chazal in Masechet Avodah Zarah record that the king's bed and personal effects were burned as well. Thus, Yirmiyahu foretells that even in Babylonian exile, Tzidkiyahu will be afforded royal honors, and will be eulogized, Hoi Adon. It will become clear later that Tzidkiyahu's life after the fall of Yerushalayim would be no bed of roses. Given his less than stellar record, his relentless pursuit of the prophets who warned of the impending disaster, and his fickle policies, it is a wonder that he was promised Bishalom Tamut, that he would die in peace. It will become abundantly clear later on in this sefer that when the city falls to the Babylonian hordes, Tzidkiyahu will try to flee with his closest advisors. But he will be captured by the enemy and witness his children and entourage slaughtered and then have his eyes gouged out. He will be led to exile in chains, where he will be imprisoned. Consequently, Rashi reads the phrase Tamut b'shalom with bitter sarcasm, as he cites Chazal, who indicated that upon Nebuchadnezzar's death, Tzidkiyahu was released from the dungeons, only to die the following day, and was given a royal funeral. Perhaps Tzidkiyahu was given this scant reward for his past efforts to free the Hebrew slaves, as retrospectively described in the rest of this chapter, beginning in verse 8. Hadavar asher haya al Yirmiyahu me'et Hashem acharei kot ha-melech Tzidkiyahu brit et kol ha'am asher b'Yerushalayim likro lahem dror. לשלח איש את עבדו ואיש את שפחתו העברי והעברייה החופשים. לבלתי עבוד בם, ביהודי אחיהו איש. The word came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem after King Tzidkiyahu had made a covenant with all the people in Yerushalayim to proclaim freedom for the slaves. Everyone was to free their Hebrew slaves, both male and female. No one was to hold a fellow Hebrew in bondage. It seems that Tzidkiyahu was shaken to the core when he witnessed the invasion of the Chaldean troops and the fulfillment of the prophet's predictions. Perhaps he hoped to institute some corrective reforms to assuage Hashem's anger at the Judean kingdom that had adopted some of the oppressive social customs of the surrounding nations. They had long since stopped observing Shemitah and Yovel and had extended the servitude of their Jewish slaves indefinitely. As the rich became richer and the poor had become their lifelong serfs. Now Tzidkiyahu instituted a ban through a religious ceremony, a sacred covenant, whereby all servants would be freed simultaneously, without waiting for the completion of a 6-year sentence. However, shortly thereafter, as the Babylonian army was diverted to fight an attack by the Egyptians, the masters in Yehuda recaptured their servants, as recorded in verses 10 through 11. All the princes and all the people heard that they must enter into the covenant, that everyone should let his male servant and everyone his female servant go free, that none should make bondservants of them anymore. So they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they regretted and brought back the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free and captured them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Rashi and Radak indicate that this event is corroborated in the 20th chapter of Yechezkel that relates that in the 7th year of his reign, some of the elders urged Tzidkiyahu to ban the indefinite enslavement of fellow Jews as a religious reform that might appease Hashem, who had warned that Yerushalayim will fall. You may recall that the Torah indicates that an impoverished person who could not repay his debts could enter indentured servitude for a period of no more than 6 years, during which time he could work off all or some of the money he owed. The master could not impose demeaning labor and had to provide food and housing for the servant and his family. That law is summarized in Devarim in the 15th chapter. If your Hebrew brother or a Hebrew woman is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the 7th year you shall let him go free from you. When you let him go free from you, you should not let him go empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock and out of your threshing floor and out of your winepress. As Hashem your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a bondservant in the land of Egypt, and Hashem your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this thing today. Similarly, a person who had stolen goods or money was required to pay double the value of the theft. And if he could not, the courts could sentence him to servitude, such that the price of his labor would provide restitution to the victim of the theft. These laws are briefly cited later in this chapter, in verses 13 through 16. Kah amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Anochi karati brit et avotechem biyom motzi'i otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, mibeit avadim lemor. Miketz sheva shanim tishlechu ish et achiv ha'ivri asher yimacher lecha. Ve'avdecha shesh shanim v'shilachto chofshi mi'imcha. Ve'lo shamu avotechem elai ve'lo hitu et oznam. ותשובו אתם היום ותעשו את הישר בעיניי לקרוא דרור איש לרעהו ותכרתו ברית לפניי בבית אשר נקרא שמי עליו ותשיבו איש את עבדו ואיש את שפחתו אשר שילחתם חופשים לנפשם ותכבשו אותם להיות לכם לעבדים ולשפחות. This is what Hashem, the God of Israel, said. I made a covenant with your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I said, every 7th year, Each of you must free any fellow Hebrews who have sold themselves to you. After they have served you 6 years, you must let them go free. Your ancestors, however, did not listen to me or pay attention to me. Recently you repented and did what is right in my sight. Each of you proclaimed freedom to your own people. You even made a covenant before me in the house that bears my name. Now you have turned around and profaned my name. Each of you has taken back the male and female slaves you had set free to go wherever they wished. You have forced them to become your slaves again. As soon as the immediate danger from the Chaldeans was averted, the Jews violated the solemn oaths they had made and reinstituted lifelong bondage, which is expressly forbidden in the Torah. Tzidkiyahu had been coronated by the Babylonians, and many in Jerusalem deemed him an illegitimate king. They readily defied him as they had defied the Torah for many years. He was too fickle to try to enforce his own ban and was easily swayed by the landowners and political elites. Several historians argue that as the battles raged and the city was surrounded, these elites were easily persuaded to free their servants who could not till the fields and were a burden to their masters who were required to feed them. But during the lull, when the Chaldean troops were sent to fight off the Egyptian invasion, they recaptured their farmhands and forced them to work in the fields and repair damaged fortifications as unpaid slaves. Consequently, Hashem decrees in verses 17 through 20, Atem lo shmatem elai likol dror ish le'achiv ve'ish le're'ehu. Hineni kore lachem dror, ne'um Hashem, el ha'cherev ve'la'dever ve'la'rav, ve'natati etchem lizva'a lechol mamlechot ha'aretz. ונתתי את האנשים העוברים את בריתי, אשר לא הקימו את דברי הברית אשר קרתו לפני העגל, אשר קרתו לשניים, ויעברו בין בתריו. שרי יהודה ושרי ירושלים, הסריסים והכהנים, וכל עם הארץ העוברים בין בתרי העגל. ונתתי אותם ביד אויביהם וביד מבקשי נפשם, והייתה נבלתם למאכל לעוף השמיים ולבהמת הארץ. Therefore, this is what Hashem said. You have not obeyed me to proclaim freedom to your own people. So I now proclaim freedom for you, declares Hashem. Freedom to fall by the sword, plague, and famine. I will make you abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth. Those who have violated my covenant and have not fulfilled the terms of the covenant they made before me, I will treat them like the calf they cut in two and then walked between its pieces. The leaders of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the officials, the priests, and all the people of the land who walked between the pieces of the calf. I will deliver into the hands of their enemies who want to kill them. Their corpses will become food for the birds and the animals. The slaveholders will be punished for desecrating their oaths to free the slaves, as will Tzidkiyahu for failing to enforce his own ban. Then Hashem, the master of history, assures them all that the lull in the fighting is only temporary, for the enemy troops will definitely return and destroy the city and the kingdom of Yehuda. Hineni mitzaveh ne'um Hashem, v'hashivotim el ha'ir hazot, v'nilchemu aleha, v'lechduha, usrafuha ba'esh, v'et arei Yehuda eten shmama me'en yoshev. Irony is unmistakable, as is the repetition of the word brit, covenant, reminiscent of brit ben haptarim, when Avraham Avinu ceremoniously walked between the split carcasses as he entered an eternal covenant with Hashem and was told that his descendants would be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham, She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.